Yeah, wow. How wonderful it is to be able to share with everyone what I feel God has been saying to me over the past couple of weeks. I'm very excited, very nervous, and quite hungry as well. So, so today I'd like to talk about honesty with ourselves and God, and honesty with families. Hopefully at some point in the future I'll be able to talk about honesty with the world, which would then conclude all three points. But first, we definitely need to pray. Yes, Lord, thank you that you've brought us all here today to learn and to encounter you. Thank you that when you say you are here in this place, you mean it. We are surrounded by your spirit right now. We are stood on holy ground. How incredible is that? And I just pray that everything that we've heard today and will hear in this talk, that we'll all be able to hear it with open hearts, and let you be the one to transform them and take us from that one degree of glory to the next. Even if it's just the smallest change, it's still a change, and it's still going to make us look more like Jesus. And that's what we want, Lord. We want to glorify you. I give all of this over to you, Lord. Let your will be done. Let this glorify you alone. Amen.
Amen.
Right. So I think it would be very beneficial for me to introduce this by answering the question, why am I doing this? Not necessarily to let you know, but to make sure that I'm heading into this with the right motivations. I'm doing this because I feel like God has given me something to say, and I need to say it. It's as simple as that. I'm doing this to hopefully glorify God, but talks are never one-sided. I believe all I can say is what I believe God has been putting on my heart, and all you can do is actively listen with an open heart, and I'm trusting God to do the rest. Only he can move something within us and transform us. Also, I am doing this now because I'm not sure when the novelty of me being young is going to wear off. What age do I get to when people are just that little bit less interested in what I have to say because they've seen me up here before, I've got a bit older, they've heard what I've said already? But it may sound a bit blunt, but I want to remind us that it doesn't matter who God is speaking through or how many times the message has been said. If God is speaking, then we should listen and he should have our full attention. If you feel that the same message is being told over and over again, it's because God needs us to keep hearing it. The messages will only change when we do. So, hear God, not me. So, honesty with ourselves. Honesty isn't just not telling lies, but it's the willingness to, and the desire to share the truth. We can convince ourselves that we are in places with God that we're not. We can become far too comfortable in the routine and pattern we've created and then put God into, that we aren't continuously asking God to improve us and push us. I was like this for such a long time. I was content with where I was. I thought I was fine, but what I really was lukewarm. Until quarantine began and I had so much free time to myself, I can honestly say I was not pushing to God at all, not in the way that we should do. I thought that I'd read my Bible properly when I really needed to, when I was feeling anxious or when I was feeling stressed. Or better yet, I'd miraculously make this new routine and be really great with God after my exams. It was always tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. It was almost similar, very almost similar, when I began to get a sense that God had another talk planned for me. I had to be so careful when writing this because I got a lot of this at night time, just as I was trying to get to sleep. So it was late, I had had a busy week, more excuses. But each time that I went back to sleep after scribbling something down, I felt as if God was saying, just add this or add a bit more here. And I really had to check myself in how I was responding to God's voice. At first, I was almost saying, can't we do this another time? I'm tired right now, I'll remember what you've said and I'll write it down in the morning. Which I know isn't true, because if I go to bed, I don't remember anything. But then it really hit me. Wow, the nerve I had trying to tell God, the God of the literal universe, when he could and couldn't speak to me. Trying to put him into my timeline, slot him in later this week when I was free. Who on earth am I not to listen to God? Especially when I'm always praying for him to speak to me. But I think it can easily get like that. We can fall into this habit because we can pray for something, but honestly, when it comes to our end of holding up the bargain, we'd much rather go the easy way out of not doing anything. God warned Noah of the flood and he gave instructions, but Noah still had to make the boat. We do not have a one-sided relationship with God. We can't just sit around expecting him to do everything when we are more than capable of just doing that little bit. It's the same when we come to church. We need to be intentional with our time and actively pursue the improvement of our relationships with God and with one another. Anyway, that was a bit off topic, but I had the attitude that I would fit God in when I had time. And then look what happened. God gave me quite a bit of time, didn't he? I'm so very thankful for every single moment of this whole lockdown period because I can confidently say that I am nowhere near the same person I was in March. It may sound like a bit of an exaggeration, but God has radically changed me. And it wasn't all in one go. It was every day he was pushing me a little bit further from one degree to the next, one degree at a time, like Dave was saying last week. And for such a long time, I was skeptical of change because it only reinforced the fact that I wasn't in control. But God has used this time to show me that I never want to go one week to the next without being changed in some way, no matter how small. And I hope that you can agree with that. We cannot stay the same people and expect to be able to push further in our relationship with God. He has always given us opportunities to open up our hearts to him and let him transform them. When we tell people about God and our testimonies should be able to talk about what God has changed in our lives, what we've learned, what we've been tested on in the past month, not those 5, 10, 20 years that it can so easily be. The process of our sanctification continues until we die. Can we honestly say that each day we are becoming more and more like Jesus? Because that is what we're meant to do, that is what we are called to do. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, like Dave mentioned last week, and we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. We are called to change, and these changes are to make us look more and more like Jesus. So what can you honestly say God has changed in our lives the past month? Because it shouldn't be that hard, I don't believe, to think back, and even if it's just the smallest thing, say you've improved in your routine a bit, you've spent more time in the Bible and you're really in a better place, that's all it has to be, but there needs to be a change. We need to constantly be asking ourselves and each other questions like this. And we need to be making sure that it is God the one that changes us and guides us closer to him. Only God has the power to do that. We are not called to walk our Christian lives separately from each other. But we should not be dependent on anything to be able to have a functioning relationship with Christ. He comes first in every situation. He is the one who sustains us and demands to be glorified. And it should be our absolute pleasure as our life's foremost purpose to fight for, to love and glorify God. So do we. I know that I was not intentionally living for God. I was not dedicating every single day to him to somehow bring him glory. I was overcome by so many other things that I didn't realize I was putting them before God and making idols out of them. The main one, right at the top, front and center, was myself. What I wanted, how I was feeling, what I thought of other people, what other people thought of me. I was so concerned with so many useless things, my phone, social media, the latest gossip, the list could go on, that I was plotting to take the throne where God rightly belongs. In all this time focusing on myself, I ironically forgot who I was, a servant and child of the King of Kings. I wrote that on the whiteboard in my room, actually, before I started college, So as soon as I woke up, I saw the words, "Remember who you are," almost to just put me in my place a little bit. A child and servant of God, first and most importantly. Fight, love, glorify. How could I go into college and introduce myself and say, "Hi, my name's Grace, I'm doing A-levels in blah, blah, blah," without saying that I'm a Christian? My identity is in Jesus Christ, and that is what defines me, arguably much more than my name does. And because of this mindset that I had when I was going into college, throughout the day God gave me opportunities that nearly everybody that I spoke to, I mentioned going to church, I said that I was a Christian, and I was so blessed in the fact that everyone responded by asking me questions about it. I have never felt more myself than when I'm talking about God. And I'm not telling you this to be like, "Oh, look at me go, I tell everyone I go to church." But I'm saying it because I didn't used to be like this. And I know I have missed so many opportunities to glorify God. And I don't want to be in that place anymore. If I say I love Jesus as much as I do, how can I not feel such a desperation to tell whoever I can about him? Can we truly say that God comes first, that we are worshipping absolutely nothing else? We need to be weighing very carefully things in our lives that seem to become an idol. Is what I'm doing really worth damaging my eternal relationship with God? Everyone knows this one. Exodus 20, verses 3. "You shall have no other gods before or besides me." God comes first. Every other single thing follows. And then I was reading Matthew 10, verse 37. "Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Blimey, that one really hit me when I read it. Because I love my family indescribably. But I can confidently say that I love God more. And I know that God loves me so much more than my family can. And that is only right. Because God is the definition of love. When his son died for me, he gave me a value that nobody else could and that no one else can take away. He completes me. We are complete in Christ alone. Every other blessing from God, like our families, are complementary to us, not the completing piece. To sum up this first section, I'll end up explaining a word that I believe God has been saying to me for many, many months. Inconsistency is dangerous. Inconsistency with our dedication to Christ puts us in precarious places and opens up the doors to the enemy. We are not called to be Christians that get burned out like a short match. We use the fire that God has instilled in us to set alight the rest of our life. I am so guilty of what I think some people call a spiritual high, where one day or week I can be so crazy about God and in such a wonderful place, then all of a sudden I'm back to that place of mediocrity. And I hate it. I hate knowing where I can be and not being there. But don't get me wrong, there will be times when we feel distant from God for whatever reason. And there'll be tough times in this relationship, which is expected. But our love for God should not be wavering and spiking up and down. It's dangerous. And do our circumstances become an excuse, or do they prompt us to make even more of an effort with our relationship with God? Because that is what we have. We have a relationship, and they take effort. You can't decide whether you want to be in a relationship one day and then not the next, and then in it again the next day. You are either in or out. I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty because this is who I was. I'm only trying to highlight that being a Christian, being so mercifully adopted into a royal family, isn't a job that we have holidays off. It is a delight. Out of everything in my life, I want God to be the one thing that is consistent throughout. Because at the end of the day, he is the only one that can be completely depended on. Like I said earlier, He is the one that sustains us. He should be our everything. So, moving on to honesty with the family. I felt as if God was saying to me that for far too long there has been an independence from one another. I know that I said earlier that we shouldn't be dependent on anything to have a functioning relationship with God, and I stand by that. But we are not called to go through our Christian lives alone. That's why we've got the church. We need support from the church, not an incentive to love God. When we become members of this church, we become a family. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. If we have nothing else in common, let our common radical love of Jesus be the unifying factor. Friendships in Christ are meant to push each other farther in our walks with God. But how are we meant to do this if we don't know where each other are? There needs to be honesty and transparency between us. Bonds need to be formed that are glorifying God. Our friendships and our relationships should be glorifying God. If we are putting him first in our lives, if we are worshipping God alone, then how can he not be the foundation and centre of our relationships with one another? A relationship built on anything else but God is vulnerable. It can be shaken and knocked. God is not to be treated as an added bonus that we just happen to have in common. He needs to be our centrepiece. We don't come to church to meet friends. We come to church to encounter God. When we spend time with each other, there needs to be an intentionality with how we are talking to each other. Everything in our lives needs to be done with intentionality because we don't have time to waste. We need to be able to ask each other challenging questions and to be able to hold each other accountable. This is something I'm learning and will always be learning. And last time I spoke, about this time last year-ish, I mentioned honesty with the family. And I'd like to add a little bit more to that now. So, do we talk about what goes on in church, at home, or in social gatherings with friends? Do we ask other members of our family and our friends that we meet up with what we're reading in the Bible and how it's changing our lives? God is not just a church thing that goes unsaid at the dinner table the rest of the week or unmentioned when we're meeting friends for coffee. I was thinking about this a lot before I started writing this talk, and I was trying to figure out how much time as an entire family unit, so all five of us, we actually talk about God. And I came to the grand total of pretty much never. How horrible is that? How can we not? I can only speak for myself, but I think it's because we've been sectioning off parts of our lives and deciding when God is in them and when we leave him out. Our family life can be one of them. I'm not saying I don't think my family's hasn't improved at all, because we definitely have. Mum, Dad and myself had a period of time when we would ask each other what we've been reading the Bible and how it's been helping us. But like I mentioned earlier, with inconsistency, it sort of fizzled out. We'd start it again and it died down again. I think this is such a good representation of how we can be in our lives. There is this vicious circle of doing well and then slipping up, waiting for everything to collapse and then rebuilding it up again. This can be related to anything. We can wait for things to bubble up until they explode, instead of constantly monitoring our spiritual health. Why do we let things get so bad before running to God and the support systems he has placed around us? Is it because we don't think God will value the little things, our mundane problems? How wrong we are if we think that God doesn't want to know everything about our lives. Just as no problem is too big to take to God, no problem is too small. Yes, of course we can do things in our own strength, but that strength has been given to us by God. But just because we can possibly do it doesn't mean we also shouldn't lay it down at his feet. One of these things needs to be honesty and the intentions of our relationships. If we find it too difficult to say what we're struggling with, it gives the enemy power to hold it over our heads. We need to be able to confide in one another. Talking about our problems takes the power from them. We also need to be able to not only talk about our struggles, but be accepting to the scriptural truth that will be spoken back to us, even if that's not what we wanted to hear. Our community has the purpose of sharpening each other up. Iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 27, verse 17. And this won't always be easy or necessarily comfortable to hear. But we should prefer to hear God's honesty, which will help us through situations, rather than worldly nonsense that would only distract us from them. God can have freed us from something, but we can still, very easily, may I add, still be holding the fallen chains. That didn't seem to be 100% related to my initial point, so I'll bring it back with saying, a family, church or otherwise, is a blessing from God. All blessings should be turned around and given back to him. Let God be in control of our family life. Let him open up some doors that we've bolted shut. And let God be the one to heal families that may not even know that they're broken. So to wrap it all up, here are some key points that I think it would be useful to pray about. I want us to be completely honest when considering these things. Is God and the relationship we have with him the most important thing in our life? Are we truly desiring to be transformed from one degree of glory to another? Are we willing to make the effort to have a consistent relationship with Christ? And what holds us back from absolute transparency with our relationships with one another? If any of these points have spoken to you, I think it would be really important and that God would want us to respond and to take action. Listen to God. What is he leading you to do? I'd like to finish with prayer, if you'd all like to stand. And you can take this time to respond for yourself, so please feel free to pray out loud. It's just God and it's just you. Yes, thank you, Lord, that you love us so much, that you have this intense desire to have a relationship with us. Thank you, Jesus, that you want us to become more and more like Jesus' perfect Son. Every day, you want us to open up our hearts to you and to let you transform them. And I'm sorry, Lord, for when I've been inconsistent. I'm sorry when you haven't come first, but I want that to change. And I don't want to leave here today being the same person that I was when I came in. I want to be changed. And I just pray that over all of us, Lord, we have the desire to be transformed, and that is what's going to push us to read our Bibles, to be honest, to pray to you, to worship you, and to glorify you. Thank you, Jesus, that I've been given this opportunity to talk about what I feel you've had to say, and I pray that it will transform people. Amen. Thank you.